From NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Texas will be allowed to use its strict new voter ID law for the upcoming midterm elections. The Supreme Court's decision today comes 2 days before the start of early voting in Texas. Carl Tobias, a professor at the University of Richmond School of Law, says the decision, though, only applies to this upcoming election.
This is only a very preliminary kind of decision that tells us very little about how this case might ultimately be resolved. From here out, the voter ID law will be in effect for this election, and then the Fifth Circuit will hear the merits appeal from the district court's injunction. And once the Fifth Circuit rules, then whoever loses will certainly appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court.
But Ryan Haygood, attorney with the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, says there are more than 600,000 registered voters who don't have the photo ID required by the law.
The state did not do a good job of publicly educating people about what is required under the new law, nor did the state do a good job of providing the alleged free ID.
And voters will have to bring certain forms of a photo ID in order to cast a ballot. The 21-day quarantine for the first group of people possibly exposed to the Ebola virus by Thomas Duncan runs through Sunday. From member station KERA in Dallas, Bill Siebel reports.
Of the 48 people monitored for signs of Ebola, all were asymptomatic. They include Louise Tro and the three young men who lived in the apartment where Thomas Eric Duncan stayed when he got sick. Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins says Tro is looking forward to the end of isolation.
For Louise, it'll be a time where she can go to her church and she can go to places she wants to go. She can go to a restaurant where she wants to eat.
But Jenkins adds, Tro won't be too happy. She lost her fiancé to the virus. For NPR News, I'm Bill Siebel in Dallas.
In Iraq, the parliament has appointed several key positions after weeks of wrangling. NPR's Alice Fordham reports U.S. officials have congratulated the politicians.
Iraq now has a permanent interior and defense minister for the first time since 2010. Former Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki filled both positions during his second term, which his critics said concentrated too much power in his hands. American officials have urged the recently elected parliament to fill the key posts, but all candidates were controversial. After much debate, the parliament chose the new interior minister as Mohammed al-Ghabban from the Badr armed Shiite political group, and the new defense minister is Khaled al-Obeidi, who was a military officer under Saddam Hussein. A State Department spokesperson offered congratulations. Alice Fordham, NPR News, Baghdad.
Human remains have been found at an abandoned property near the University of Virginia. Police say they could belong to a missing UVA student. Police say the remains will be sent for forensic tests. This is NPR News. The federal government will temporarily stop funding any new studies that could make three high-risk infectious diseases even more dangerous. NPR's Nell Greenfield-Boyce reports that the move comes after a long controversy over experiments with mutant forms of a bird flu virus.
The White House Office of Science and Technology Policy announced that the government will launch a review of the potential risks and benefits of certain experiments with three viruses, influenza, SARS, and MERS. Concerns have been raised about so-called gain-of-function studies, which would probe how these viruses work by altering them in ways that could make them more pathogenic or contagious. The prestigious National Research Council will be involved in the deliberations. Until officials adopt a new policy, which they expect to do next year, new research proposals will not be funded, and the government is asking all scientists involved in this work to voluntarily halt their current studies. Nell Greenfield-Boyce, NPR News.
In Bermuda, crews are clearing away downed trees and power lines after Hurricane Gonzalo hit the island overnight with strong winds and rain. The storm battered the British territory for hours, but no deaths or serious injuries have been reported. Maria Frith is the owner of Great Bay Cottages.
We have had a lot of foliage damage, trees coming down, branches, obviously leaves everywhere, trash, but structural damage, we are thankful that we have not had any.
Hurricane Ana is expected to miss Hawaii by more than 100 miles, but that storm is causing high waves, strong winds, and heavy rains. Flash flood warnings are up throughout the island chain. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News in Washington.